Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Today, it's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Vicki Oliver's here, too. Vicki is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, leading development, career development expert. She's the author of five books on the topic, including 301 Smart Answers to Tough Interview Questions, including one of my favorites, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots. She's our good friend Vicki. Welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you back.
Really appreciate it.
Are the bad bosses thing, is this, do you think it's worse than it used to be? I mean, I've had a lot of bad bosses in my life back when before I became unemployable, when I was actually a good employee for 20 something years. I had some bad bosses. I had some good bosses. What do you think the state of bossism is these days? Is it trending good or bad?
I think that it's probably, there have always been, you know, some bad bosses out there.
Right.
And my book, my theory of my book, is that it depends on your personality whether or not you think your boss is bad. And it's divided into types, and the idea of it is, you have a certain kind of boss, let's say the person's a micromanager, that type drives you crazy. You look up what to do about that person, and then you put the book away until you encounter the next bad person at your office.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a thesaurus of all the different kinds of people you can run into at the workplace.
Well, you know, I've told this story before. I left one place where I had a bad boss, one of my first jobs, and I was so happy to be away from that guy. And when I showed up for my new boss, it was like his sister was there.
Yes.
The new bad boss was a female, and I remember thinking, is this his sister? Are they following me around? Is this family trying to kill me?
That's actually the theory of the book. The theory of the book is that the grass is not greener at a different office place. Because if you can't stand that type of person, you're always going to be running into that type of person over and over and over again. So this book gives you proactive tools to try to deal with that type of person so that you can learn how to manage them.
How do we do that? Let's do that in this segment, and then we'll talk about how to fix them in the next segment. What's the first thing to do?
Okay, so for example, let's take the micromanager, you know, the devil wears Prada. The person that's always looking over you, your computer, what are you working on? You know, what is your schedule like? What are you doing today? That type of person, they don't give you enough rope, you know. They need to be very controlling. So one of my theories is that you should allow them to know what you are doing. You should just tell them, you should bludgeon them with the information that they seek, because nobody can be doing two jobs. So if you allow them and you say, this is my list, this is what I'm doing, this is what happened, this is what I went to the meeting, this is exactly what occurred, eventually they're going to get tired of hearing all the minutia of your day, and they are going to give you enough leeway and enough trust to do your job well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're always sitting there saying, oh my gosh, so you're an authority figure, let me do my job, go away, then they trust you less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to play their game, I guess, don't you?
I think you should. I think it's a smart idea to go with that person's, you know, it's their problem.
I wonder if they're like customers. You know, when I first started selling to peak customers a long time ago, I didn't like it. I didn't like dealing with difficult people. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm probably going to be making my living doing this. I'm going to have to get money from everybody.
Right.
And I started figuring out the difficult people. And
right.
What I learned was they're hurting. There's something, there's some pain there.
Yes.
And what I started doing with customers was saying, okay, where's their pain? If I could identify what it was, I would help them with that pain. And then after that, I had a customer for life.
Right.
Are bosses like that?
Yes. Bosses are like that. Some of them are just mean.
Some people are just mean.
Some of them are bullies.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, there's a chapter in there about the bully and how to deal with the bully.
Right. But some people are not. Some people are hurting, aren't they?
Yeah. But also, if you're, let's say you're a low-level worker, a lot of times you end up working for a boss and he or she is never there. Like, I call that person the Wizard of Oz. They're just never there.
Right.
And you need that person's approval, you know, mm-hmm. to go forward. Or you think you need their approval to go forward and you can't find them ever. And that can be very frustrating, too. So there's all different kinds of proactive advice, like how you handle that type of a situation where you're not, you don't feel like you're empowered to make the decision without your boss, and yet you can't find your boss.
What do you do? Take initiative?
Yes. You should, first off, you should realize that it's actually a great opportunity for you because there's a vacuum in that company. And if you play your cards right, you can fill the vacuum. Mm-hmm. You can grow into a different position. But what I recommend in the book is, for example, leaving negative option clause messages. You know, I can't find you. I need your approval. I'm mm-hmm. going to figure that you do approve this and go forward unless we hear from you. Because there are five people in the office and they're all breathing down my throat.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just say, this came up. I couldn't find anybody. I made a decision. This is what I did. I hope it worked out.
Great.
I take initiative. And
you have to take initiative. You can't just wait for that person to appear because maybe he or she is in a different country. Maybe they're in a different time zone. Maybe they're in a different office handling a different crisis. Something. You can't find them. You have to move forward.
And some bosses are passive aggressive. They won't give you the permission, but they'll complain when you do. And I just looked around, and if something needed to be picked up or done, and nobody else was doing it, I would pick it up or do it.
Right.
And say, I hope it worked out. And, you know, right. I mean, I erred on the side of initiative.
Right.
And that usually helped. It's amazing how many different types of bosses actually gravitate to that. What do you think?
I agree. I think, you know, in the case of the Wizard of Oz, the person, the guy or woman who's never there, right, you're helping that person by taking some initiative and doing the job that, you know, that he or she should be doing, you know?
Well, part of their pain may be that they've been given this job they're not really qualified to do.
Or maybe they can't do it because it's impossible. If they're managing five offices,
yeah,
they're all over the country,
point.
And maybe one's in Europe,
that's a,
you know?
That's an excellent
and it's
point.
Just too much work. And those offices are having crises also.
Mm-hmm. Vicky, I need your website quickly.
Oh, it's Vicky, V-I-C-K-Y.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.